because certain other prophecies had to be fulfilled before I could be sure. Well, I'm a very human being, very human, subject to error, but I am no longer saying very likely. I'm no longer saying may well be. I'm just telling you that this is going to happen. And I'm telling you it's going to happen in the first, in the administration that follows Obama. If that's time setting, then I'm going to have to live with it. But I cannot tell you the precise time, but I will tell you this is going to happen during the next administration following Obama, and I'm sure of it. And God isn't bothering me about it at all, and He tends to bother me about things like this. He has for years. But this is it. And after people have scoffed at it all these years, they said, oh, my granddaddy said that, and my grandma said that. They've been saying that ever since the cross. And I know for sure that some of those are church members. And they get to where they just scoff, and they don't even believe it themselves. And so pretty soon, the depth of a church member's belief is going to be tested. You're not going to hell if you're a believer. But this is the time to walk circumspectly. The Bible says we should walk circumspectly, very carefully considering. To do that means to watch. And that's the key word that the Lord uses over and over again as to what all Christians should do in all ages. Your time of watching is about over. And you're going to see the final conflict, the last 1,335 days, the tribulation period, actually began during the next administration. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you're going to look like a fool if it doesn't. All men are born fools, and only the Lord can straighten them out. I'm telling you, this is it. And I'm not telling you that to impress you or to influence you. I'm telling you because you need to think about this. In Revelation 6:7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Yeah, I've preached this to you before several times, and I'm going to do it quickly and get into the main message before I'm finished and stop at noon. The voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And look, and there's a pale horse. You know what the pale horse is? It's the death horse. And his name that sat on him was death. Well, that's the pale horse. And he's been around a long time now. And hell followed with him. We're not far away from the seventh trumpet rapture. It's not a far distant event. And power was given to him over the fourth part of the earth. That means the old world. The word that is used there for geis is geis for earth. It doesn't mean a fourth part of the world's population. Hal Lindsey popularized that. Others followed his lead. And it isn't true. It's the old part of the earth. So his power has come. And now it's been being exercised over the fourth part of the earth, which is pretty much what we call North Africa, the Middle East, all the way over to Iran, and all the way across the southern part of Europe. They're murdering people. They're butchering people. They're killing Christians, right and left. We're in this right now. And power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, that's the black horse, and death, that's the pale horse. We're in this right now. It's not affecting us here in the new world, but it will affect us, the whole world, before this is all over. And with the beasts of the earth, I've been torn for a long time between whether that means the bodies laying out on the sides of the hills, slaughtered when Ezekiel comes down and when the prince of Meshach and Tubal comes down. I've been torn between two opinions. That either means this great slaughter that's going to occur of the Antichrist army when he comes down, and when the actual battle occurs, when he comes down to attack Israel, are between what the Bible calls the beasts of the earth. How about the beast of the earth being the Assyrian Empire, or the one before that? How about it starting off with the empire that preceded the actual Assyrian Empire? How about another beast being the Assyrian Empire itself, the next one being the Babylonian Empire, the next one being the Macedonian Empire, then the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Babylonian Empire? Weren't those all called beasts? And weren't they beasts? And didn't it say that some of them would be preserved? Didn't it say some of them would survive? It did indeed. Folks, this stuff is starting right now in the old world across the Middle East. Now, I told you that they would not completely destroy ISIS or completely destroy any of the worst terrorist groups. Isn't that where most of them are centered right now? But they're breaking it up, and they will eventually succeed in smashing a lot of the power of ISIS and others. But they will not completely wipe them out. That's the stage we're in right now. I guarantee that's the stage we're in. It says, kill with a sword. That's the Red Horse Rider. With a hunger. That's the Black Horse Rider. Death, Pale Horse Rider. With the beasts of the earth. Remnants from all of those different kingdoms that once influenced the church through using the beast that built up around them during their time and in part of our time. That's when it comes over the whole world. And when he had opened the fifth seal, now he's going to open that fifth seal. You want to hear what's going on in the old world right now? And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. There's a whole bunch of them up there. And they start all the way back through those beasts and even before. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? This is a cry of anxiety. Holy and true, it's spiritual anxiety. It's not wrong. That's watching. Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? We're still down here, and this is happening right now on the earth. Period. So, we're still here on the earth. How long are we going to be here? I don't think it's a long time. And these are all the martyrs up to that time. Well, there's a lot of them being added right now in rapid fashion. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said to them that they should rest for a little season. How long is a little season? Right now, I'm going to tell you, from where we're sitting, it's actually until the sixth seal opens and goes through to the final vial of wrath. But we're not going to be here during the time of God's wrath. How long will they have to wait until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed is there where it should be fulfilled. It's being fulfilled right now. And I beheld and opened the sixth seal. Now here we go. We're going into some tough stuff. But at least we'll see it happening over there as a warning. You can see it happening over there right now. You can listen to your radio, your television. You can watch it. You can read the book of Revelation in the, so far as I've read it down to here. And you can see this thing has been fulfilled right up unto the opening of the sixth seal. But that does not end the tribulation period. There are a lot of people down here that are church members. And there are a lot of people down here that are church members who are trying to please God. And there are a lot of church members down here are who don't want Him to come right now. And many of them are the scoffers. He says, and lo, now here's when the tough stuff comes. It begins what we call the 135,000 days. And when it opens, when it starts, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. You can read every bit of that in what we have already put out at this church in the birth pangs from the bottomless pit. I haven't had a changed thing in there. It's all in there, and it's all just exactly like it has come down. The one thing I have never been able to completely be certain about was exactly when this attack would occur regarding us and non-believers and scoffers. When she is shaken of a mighty wind, I tell you, you're going to be here when the actual wormwood comes down. So am I. Doesn't bother me. You say, well, you may be killed. Hallelujah. It'd be a good way to die. Jerry McGee, before he died, he said, this would be a good day to die. And it was. I think sometimes there's an awareness inside us. When it draws close, it's coming. I have that awareness living in me right now in a way it has never lived before. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is gathered. What causes all those volcanic eruptions and that blood and the hail and all the different things? The moon becoming blood. It's volcanic eruptions. And what causes it also? Earthquakes. And every, not just some of them, but every mountain and island shall be removed out of their places. They all have geographical, latitudinal, and locational coordinates, and they take it all the way down to minutes and seconds. They're all going to be changed. Only one person can do that. Almighty God. He put it together. He made it. He's going to move the whole caboodle called the tectonic plate structure, which He owns, operates, and controls. And you're going to see all Hades break loose. Now you want to see what's really going to happen? And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and their mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. These are the vials of wrath. And said to the mountains and islands, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? It's coming. Now I know if you're young, that's not a good thing to think about. I know that a part of you is hoping like mad that He's not coming then. You've got a chance, but why gamble with God? You've got a chance. I'm a human being. I could misinterpret it. But I'm telling you, I am not ashamed to stand before the throne of God. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen in the next administration. Now, God made sure that he let the church know what was going to happen in the last days. He wasn't going to let them know the day, the week, the month, or the year. He wasn't going to do that. But God loves us, and out of love, he gives us some time to get on the trust boat for what God says, and to start to epigenosko what you believe. Gnosko means you believe that God was crucified for your sins, delivered for your justification, and you believed it. That's gnosko. Epigenosko means I know it, and there's no doubt in my mind, your spiritual mind. You're still going to have doubts in your physical mind, but no, all of a sudden, you just know this thing is on the doorstep, and those of you who have lost ones in heaven are anxious for it to happen. Those of you who have children, you're not all that anxious. Even though they're saved, you want them to have the same kind of life you held. I understand that. And I'm not telling you that's the right attitude, but I'm telling you, I can assure you God understands it because he put up with me all those years. And yes, if that's what you want, he probably will put up with you. But that's a probable. But that this is coming after Obama leaves office in the next administration, that's not a maybe. It's a definite maybe. It's definite. Now, Paul told Timothy, he said, when I gave all diligence, this is in Jude 3. Jude wrote this, not Paul, and said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he was going to say, he said, I'm going to tell you about just being saved. But he suddenly realized, guess who told him? Guess who led him that way? It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. That's tase pisteon. It's not talking about the faith that saved you. It's a system of teaching and doctrine that Jesus gave. And that teaching of doctrine, I preached. Your husband preached. Robert believes. Kenneth believes. Robert believes. We're epigenesco. We know that it's true. And we know it's laying at our very doorstep. And I suppose you could say that we're watchmen. And surely your husband was a watchman. And he tried to warn people and people wouldn't listen to him. We've joined that club because people won't listen to us either. But maybe if they get it on a DVD where they don't have to face the one that's preaching it, maybe they'll think more about it. You say, well, you're using maybes in there now. But that's not about when it's going to happen. It's going to happen in the next administration. He says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, plead with you, stimulate you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Every one of you that are members of this church are contributing to this. You buy the tapes. You listen when you're here. You study. And if anybody comes up to you and asks you about what you believe, you can tell them. Many of you are not the come on, brother, let's get out there and set the world on fire. God doesn't ask you to set the world on fire. He doesn't. He just asks you to listen. And if anybody comes to you and asks you about it, tell them what you know. Believe me, if they come and ask you, God sent them. And if God sent them, you won't have a hard time with them. But this church teaches this. We're trying to send it out to a lost and dying world, to a world full of people that are believers, to a world of people that are members of scriptural churches, but to a people in those churches that are scoffers at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this church is trying to do, and that's what you're a part of. Now, he said, it was just once delivered to the saints. It's done. It's completed. It's finished. Okay, you need to know what it is. I'm your pastor. I need to know more about what it is. You should never stop learning. When you think that you've learned enough, you haven't. And when you think you haven't learned enough, you're right. That's the way it is. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Here's his instructions to the preachers in this church. And I might as well say to the deacon also, and anybody else that's delighted in knowing the word of God. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Oh, how can you do that? How can you be instant if you don't know what you're supposed to know? Your husband knew a lot, and he could put it in a few quick words. He didn't have to preach all day like we do. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. He was always ready to talk to you and give you an answer. He was ready to preach at any time. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Well, preachers can do that pretty easy, as long as they don't include themselves in that category. With all long-suffering and doctrine. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just telling you what the Lord said, what we're supposed to do, and you're supposed to listen, and you're supposed to decide. We don't make the decision for you. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It is here. How many churches have we got within a radius of 5 miles around here? We've got at least 40. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. You can't turn around and from the truth except your ears itch for something else. And you want somebody to scratch them. And the dog I have loves to be scratched underneath the ears. And he turns over, she turns over, and she wants me to rub her belly. I don't know if it's having any sexual connotation or not, but that's what she likes, tickle her under the ears. And so there she is, and she's happy as a bug in a rug. I know a lot of people in churches that believe in salvation by grace, security of the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church, but they believe in a universal invisible church. They don't believe you have to practice the ordinances as they were delivered to the saints, and they practice them according to their own rules and their own dictates. Nice people. You can be tickled under the ears. I can be tickled under the ears. I'm warning you, don't be tickled under the ears, because it just doesn't work. You say, well, some of the best friends I have are the kindest people I know. Welcome to the club. I have many missionary Southern Baptist preachers that I think the world of. One of them died recently out at Delaware, and I think the world of them. And I can sit and talk to Southern Baptist preachers all day long. And some of them can just sit there and talk to you, and we can discuss it back and forth, and we don't lose our tempers, we don't get mad, sometimes they get converted. You say, well, why don't you ever get converted? Because I'm mean as a rattlesnake, and my carnal man ain't about to want to get converted. He says, I charge thee therefore before God, and they shall turn around. Let me go on down. The time has come when we are not enduring the vast majority of the time has come when they are not enduring sound doctrine, and the vast majority of the religious world is now more interested in fictional and traditional tales than in the living word of God. This is actually the reason I believe Armageddon is not in the far distant future. I've been waiting for this for years and years and years, and it's finally happened. And now I can know when this is going to occur, when the war is going to start. And that man of sin will soon be revealed. And when he comes out, you will know him quite well. The great falling away from the truth delivered in the New Testament is here, and the revealing of the man of sin cannot be far behind. I'm going to drop on down. And I'm not, well, I have already talked about this, but I think it was during the classes that we have on school nights. And I described exactly who these people were and how they had to do it and when that was in place. And I want to be able to do that all by itself on someday on a Sunday morning. But I will tell you the exposition of Revelation 16:13 begins. Here it is. Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Many expositors explain this as the counterfeit satanic trinity to parallel that of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, making up the true Godhood that indwelt the man Christ Jesus. The Scripture says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now, that's interesting. It is at this time that the reign of Antichrist is about to close with the final battle of Armageddon, and he is completely taken over by Satan the Father himself. The three forces, the spirit of Satan, the spirit of Antichrist, and the unholy spirit represented by the false prophet, sent out a call for all nations to come against Israel. One thing is certain, they are the spirits of devils working miracles by the hands of gods, of the false apostles, and to the religious world would appear as angels of light, and they are sent together, the kings of the whole earth, as it were when John wrote Revelation to Armageddon. That's what's going to happen. And I tell you, it's not far off. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if the ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Revelation 16, 15 through 16. Notice I'm following each one of these. "Behold, I come as a thief, blessed, Makarios, happy is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments." What is watch? It's Jude 3. It's Jude 3. That's what it is. "And keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, like in a little small petticoat that goes down to the knees, and they see his shame." It's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. "And he gathereth them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon," Armageddon. He gathers them together there. That's the end of it. That's Armageddon. We've already been raptured out. "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments." We'll be raptured out long before this. Revelation 11 and Revelation 15 and Revelation 18. The Valley Plains lie. The Tel Armageddon is located on top of what is often called the Mountain of Armageddon, which sits at the junction of the plains of Ezra Elon and the valley plain of Jezreel. That's that little valley that runs down from Hebron all the way down to the actual Jordan River. The valley plains lie from the Mediterranean seaport of Haifa all the way to the Jordan River and separate the northern mountains of Galilee from the southern mountains of Samaria. Now, I want you to realize this is tied in directly what he said in the 17th chapter of Revelation. "It is in this wide plain from the great port of Haifa to the Jordan and south to Beersheba for the final battle. It is here that the Archangel Michael at Beersheba, the Archangel Michael will stand up to defend Israel. The Antichrist will set as unchallenged king on the old Temple Mound in Jerusalem, from which he will direct the final battle to forever eliminate the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, but he will come to his end." Long and short of it, we got some times to go through when it's all going to be happening mostly over there. It's when is that? Right now. And we got some times when some of it's going to go on over here. How far away is that? Well, the war is going to start, I think, during the time that the next administration. And whatever in our lives we intend to turn over to God, it's time to do it. It's time to do it. So, I want to have a brief invitation. Just one verse. If there's any reason, if you need to be saved, if you want to come forward for any other reason, whatever it may be, we'll have this one verse, then we'll close.